We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Abner Meres is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Meres, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. To chat about topics like the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid who in the streets to a boxing champ, sports, music, culture, and family life. And being a husband and a girl dad. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Meres whenever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to In the Know, brought to you by betonline.ag, some good friends over there. We're going to have some interesting episodes coming up for you guys, but before we dive into all the other teams and their fancy stuff, we feel like we owe you some good old-fashioned Pelicans talk. Now, there has been a lot of news with the Pelicans lately, especially with their coaching search, and Mason, before we even get into that, I need to know, first of all, were you watching the Lakers win their championship? And if so, and I guess even if you weren't, what was your reaction? When did you become resigned to the fact that they were going to win?
The second the Goran and Bam injuries got announced.
Oh, really? That's much later than where I was. I was resigned to the fact they were going to win the second the Clippers got eliminated.
Oh, okay. So I guess I misinterpreted that question. I guess in the finals, I thought that there was a chance. I thought Miami at full strength had a chance to knock them out. Like, I still thought the Lakers would be favored and would likely win it, but I still had a decent amount of hope. And once those injuries came out with two of their, you know, core players, I thought it was done. But yeah, I mean, like, that my I'm with you. The clip that when the Clippers got knocked out, I just looked and said, there's no one that's going to beat. No one's going to beat them. Like, I didn't think Boston or Miami, like, was, there's no way that either of those teams could be favored. And as cool of a story as Denver was with the 3-1 comebacks, there was just never, a matchup nightmare for them. So I think I was pretty much with you, but I still had hope, right?
Right. Yeah, it was disappointing that Goran and Bam got hurt the way they did. What were your like emotions after the Lakers winning the championship? Were you like, meh? Are you salty? Are you angry? Are you happy? What's the feeling?
I mean, bummed, obviously, but like, I gotta be honest, and I thought this for both of us, I thought the receipts were coming, man. I was like, the Lakers fans have been like,
bro, they lit up Preston and the Bird Lights.
we made it out unscathed, and I was like, all
maybe
right,
because I've blocked like 400 people this year.
I didn't start blocking until late, like once, I think it was like months post pandemic. I was just like, you know what? There's enough shitty things going on in the world right now. I don't need these clowns, invading my mentions and making things any worse. So like, that's why I started blocking, but yeah, maybe that did it. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised the lack of receipts that showed up on my doorstep. So it sucks. And I don't want it to be misconstrued. Like the Lakers being who they are, the Lakers, that regardless of who's on the team, it's annoying when like the Cowboys win. I know people think it's annoying when the Yankees win, even though I'm Yankees fans, like I get the Lakers, you know, that it's not ideal, but also like, it's the worst possible outcome for the Pelicans long-term. And it's everything went perfectly for them with LeBron and AD. AD's absolutely going to resign. The only question is how long he's going to resign. Is he going to resign for? And so it's not a great news story for the draft picks well into the future. Obviously there's the Pelicans own them a few years out. And so the book's still very much open on how valuable they'll be, but it's, you know, I don't know how it could have gone worse 1 year in, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there are a couple things I want to talk about. One, you know, it was sad/disappointing to watch. I watched, you know, all the games, and I watched like all the reactions post game, and, you know, the locker room stuff and the speeches and whatever, you know. After 7 years of investing in Anthony Davis, that's something like I had hoped for as a Pelican fan, to experience that with Anthony Davis as the leader of the team. And so, you know, it's like you build up these ideas in your head and you're watching them unfold in front of you just for the team you despise.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing.
And like, it sucks because you like what makes the Lakers like so, and forget beyond obviously the city thing, like what gives them the right in recent years, forget, you know, the way they've really built that team. How is it different from the way many other teams have built their team? And like, why do they get to have AD with LeBron, and why can another team, like even if it's at the Pelicans, why can another team have it? It's just really frustrating because it feels like it was like not earned and just it's fortuitous. You know?
Yes. And so that was going to be my second point, is that I feel like bad management and bad roster building and just bad ownership was rewarded this year. They got a star to force his way out of a different team. They orchestrated the whole thing, and all of that, every single one of those actions was rewarded. And I don't think it's like some big change that's going to happen with the league. You know, I don't think that other stars are going to be like, oh, well, AD got away with it, we can do it too. But it's not good.
Right.
It's not good when teams are already struggling to contain stars. You know, because like, I think when LeBron was going to be a free agent, we joked, there was lots of memes and jokes on Pelicans Twitter, like LeBron should come to the Pelicans, right? And at that point, the Pelicans had an amazing roster. It would have been Drew, AD, LeBron, and Meritage, and not that it was ever even remotely a possibility. But the fact is, if LeBron wanted to make it happen, they could have made it happen. And that could have been a championship team right then and there, you know?
Right, right.
And so, but they wanted to make it happen in LA, and I don't blame them. You can't blame the players for kind of taking their own destinies into their own hand and doing it on their terms. That's really good for player empowerment. It just sucks as a fan of a team that doesn't get to experience that.
Yeah. And like, it's weird, the differences that come across with, but in basketball to like football, for example, where in football, there really isn't this allegiance to big cities, you know, and you've got like Green Bay, the Packers have been just like this dominant team for decades, and they're
playing fucking terrible weather.
But like, at least like Boston's a big city, like Green Bay, Wisconsin has been dominant. It's shitty weather. It's not a big city. Like there's nothing appealing about it. And yet this team's been dominant for 20 years with Brett Favre and now Aaron Rodgers. And now, and you look at basketball, it's just like, if you're not in one of these big cities and these glamour markets, you know, LeBron goes because it's LA and because the Lakers are a prestigious franchise for their entire history in Los Angeles.
It's Hollywood. Yeah. He gets to make Space Jam.
Right. Yeah. And so like, that's the reason he goes there. Not that the team was managed. And I'm not trying to say the Lakers were like, a con or Kings or Knicks level blunder, but like they were definitely in the bottom half of the league pretty comfortably in terms of,
for those like 7 years or so, it was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, he goes for superficial is the wrong word, but he goes for reasons that don't have to do with how well the team's managed. And then that's the snowball effect. LeBron goes there. Then every point you made spot on about, getting AD there. And so it's just, you know, it's frustrating for 80% of the other teams in the league, you know? And so like you said, it's not going to change the way that none of this changes the way the league is the direction that's going, but it's annoying.
Yeah. Well, enough Lakers talk. They are champions. Congrats to them and their organizations. I am not congratulating the fans. They can go fuck themselves. but congrats to the players and the org. Good for them.
Yep.
And we can talk about the Pelicans coaching situation, which has been very, very interesting with some of the names that have come up. And I guess I can recap it a little bit. The most recent news is Stan Van Gundy was in town and he is emerging as a strong finalist. And between him and Ty Lue and a couple others that have been linked, the Pelicans have a pretty interesting list of candidates. And I think these aren't finalists. I'm making this very clear, but you know, some of the names that have been associated with the Pelicans coaching search have been Dan Craig from Miami. I'm blanking already. Oh, Will Weaver, Sidney Kings, former Long Island Net head coach, Jamal Mosley, which Brian Windhorst mentioned. So they're clearly doing their research. I think someone else mentioned they had interviewed David Vanterpool and Darvin Ham as well. So it's been a pretty robust search. Stan Van Gundy is emerging as a finalist. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is hard. If you look at just his resume, especially the Gentry folks who just point to wins and losses and nothing else, you can't be upset about it. And beyond the wins and losses, you look at every stop he's had. He won in Miami. The departure from Miami, depending on who you ask, you get a different story, whether it was Pat Riley forcing him out or any other sort of, or Stan Van Gundy leaving on his own accord, which is what he says. And I think he didn't even, he resigned. So he didn't get the salary for that year. So I think that's a reasonable thing to assume, is that he just wanted to take time away. And then he goes, coaches the Magic. That's a pretty revolutionary team that he had with Dwight Howard, the four out, with Dwight in the middle. There was the pretty fairly public disagreements, or, you know, it's me or him between Stan Van Gundy and Dwight Howard. And the Magic kind of went with their superstar, which didn't really work out for them well. Although that trade, I still remember that trade, that 14 trade with Dwight Howard, and the Magic somehow weirdly may have ended up with the best, the best return out of those four teams in the long run, which is crazy. And then, he goes and works for the Pistons, And I think most people would agree that the downfall there was the fact that he was also the president of basketball operations, and his drafting record was horrific. And so, I haven't done a ton of homework, and I think maybe you have, about what his reputation as a coach was in this most recent stop in Detroit. But it kind of seemed like the real problem was him having to wear two hats. And so it feels like every step of the way he's been a solid head coach, and JJ Redick, among others, has said really great things about him. So if he ends up being the choice, I don't think we can be too upset about that.
Yeah. So. You covered a lot of Stan Van Gundy's background, and I wanted to touch on a couple points where, first of all, he was very innovative, right? So Van Gundy realized how dominant of a presence Dwight Howard was in the post and in the middle. So they had a four-out system, and for a three-year span from 2009 and 10 through 2011 and 12, they were at the top of the league in three-pointers made and attempted. Which is pretty wild considering, you know, the whole analytic revolution didn't really come into the fray as much, as strongly, until the Warriors took off. And so that's pretty impressive. And Mike D'Antoni and the Nash Suns get a lot of credit for their evolutionary offense, but Van Gundy was doing a lot of the same stuff or similar stuff from an analytical standpoint in Orlando back in the day. As you mentioned, JJ Redick has great things to say about Van Gundy. Dwayne Wade has great things to say about Van Gundy. And I informally polled a few people, coaches, executives around the league, and the reviews on Van Gundy are great. They say he prepares his players better than basically anyone they have ever seen. And the players know exactly what they're going into and coming out of. And people loved working for him in Detroit, apparently, despite his dual role as president of basketball operations and coach. It's very clear that he wasn't a good decision maker in terms of the front office side of things. And so having a strong presence there in David Griffin should alleviate those concerns. But as a coach, you know, Van Gundy gets a lot of praise from people around the league. So that to me means something. And two, he's described as a kind of no-nonsense type coach when practice turns on. And he is very meticulous in his preparation, and he is very meticulous in holding himself accountable if the team isn't doing well. And so I think what Griff is looking for is kind of an asshole to keep the team in line. I think Van Gundy is very much a candidate that checks some of those boxes, as well as being a good coach in terms of X's and O's and personnel management. So I think Van Gundy is a strong candidate. I think I would say he's my favorite candidate of the people that have been mentioned, just because of the reviews he's getting. And those Magic teams were some of my favorite teams. I was a big Dwight Howard fan back in the day, especially when they made the finals. So he's done some impressive stuff. The stuff in Detroit, I mean, their roster was crap, and you know, it was, they were relying on Reggie Jackson, who was injured the whole time, and so it just wasn't a good situation there. And I think he's learned a lot from his little bit of a break that he's had since Detroit.
The wait is finally over. Football's back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win the season. From games, spreads, and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on the season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. I lean slightly towards Lou if given the option, I think. I will say that that's just the two of them. And I feel like, and maybe this is a miss on my part, but I feel like I have a slightly more confidence in Lou to build out a assistant coaching staff around him that complements each other. And not to say that Stan can't or won't. I don't know. I have this feeling that Lou is slightly better positioned in terms of his, relationships around the league to do that. And also I think age is a factor, relating to players is a factor, things like that. Some of the stuff that like, I feel like you have to rely on a head coach to do. And especially with this Pelicans team, I feel a little bit more confident in Ty, but that's just like, we're talking about two good candidates here. I think I'm not, I'd be quite happy with either option.
I agree. And I think there's a reason for why the Pelicans have wanted Ty Lue for a very long time. And you covered some of those reasons. And, the Pelicans have kind of been enamored with Lue for dating back to February and even maybe December. The problem with Ty Lue is Ty Lue isn't all that enamored with the Pelicans. And, you guys can make of that what you want to. But the fact remains, Lue wants to be on a team that is just in a much better position in terms of winning. So the Clippers, the Rockets are the finalists. Previously, he was looking at Philadelphia and the Brooklyn Nets before their jobs were covered. And so Lou is really, really trying to explore all these possibilities for better teams before he settles on the Pelicans, if he settles on the Pelicans. And I do think there is an argument to be made, why do you want to go after a guy that's trying really hard not to be here? But I personally don't hold that against him because that guy's doing due diligence for his career. And it's not like he said, if he didn't want to come to the Pelicans, he wouldn't have them as an option. There's a reason he wasn't, Indiana's not an option. There's a reason, OKC is not an option for him. Mm-hmm. So I think there's merit to that. I don't find it likely the Pelicans end up with him. I do think one of the Clippers, I think Houston actually is where he ends up. But I know
really?
One of those two. Yeah, I think so. I think Houston bites the bullet. And so I think what's going to happen is they realize they have a small window with Harden and Westbrook, and they gotta do what they gotta do to make them happy.
So let's say Mike Brown or Chauncey gets the job, and hopefully not Chauncey, because Chauncey's a guy I would love to have as on Ty Lue's staff. But let's say Mike Brown gets the job in Los Angeles. You think if it comes down to the Rockets and the Pelicans that Ty Lue ends up in Houston?
Oh, I don't think. I know.
Huh.
I am telling you, if there's the same amount of money on the table.
Well, that's a big if. That's exactly what I'm getting at, though.
I think even if there's slightly less money on the table with Houston, he'll go there.
Yeah. I'm not saying that.
I think the offer's got to be really, really bad from Houston. Really bad. And I think when that happens, it's going to piss off their stars. It's just not a good situation.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just keep coming back to this.
The way I was told explicitly, things have to go really fucking bad for Lou to end up on the Pelicans.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Which is a possibility when Tillman Fertitta is the owner.
Exactly.
It's a complete reality. It's not this like remote, impossibility. No, it's very likely where Tillman decides to go wise ass and realizes, oh, the Clippers went in a different direction. Maybe we can shortchange.
He's going to hire his own assistant.
Fertitta is going to try to play he's probably read The Art of the Deal. and worships Trump. And he's like, okay, well, the Clippers are off the table. We will give you $2. Oh, he was going to be like, fuck you, and move on. It's a possibility. It's a complete possibility. But I think barring, you know, some shenanigans going on in Houston, I would put money on Van Gundy being the favorite to come out of this.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I'm more cynical about Fertitta than I guess I'm just trying to think about everything. The fact that Russell Westbrook and James Harden pretty much almost get you into the, not into the tax, but like they could cap you out by themselves. The pandemic hasn't exactly been great for Fertitta's like core business. He's
broke boy asking for loans.
Yeah, exactly. I was like
big old loans,
super leveraged, and just like, yeah, I just don't, I don't feel like he's in a great spot financially. And so if you're asking him, oh yeah, and you can, by the way, go and have to pay, give Ty Lue, $30 million guaranteed, or I mean, not obviously not per year, but like over the course of his contract, I feel like that's maybe a tough sell. And so, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. It's impossible to predict. I do want to get your thoughts on Jason Kidd a little bit, because his name has come up and he is probably getting an interview. Just people should probably brace for that news to come out. So given that you know that, what are your thoughts? How do you feel about the whole Kidd situation?
Yeah. And I think we hit on this slightly last podcast, because the news was out that he was going to be an interview. We didn't know. I don't think last time we knew the situation of like, they're going to have so many remote interviews and have finalists in person. We didn't have that information. All we knew is that Kidd was speculated to be one of the candidates. And so, I mean, it's bad, regardless. I think what we're all, I mean, fingers crossed. So I feel like we're both, like you and I and others, are fairly confident in the fact this is just like this is an agent favor. This is not like a real thing. Which, like, I'm, even if it's just a remote first round interview, I'm still not happy about it, but like, whatever, if it's just a, you know, for display and for nothing else. But if he really is one of the four that were that, you know, are in-person finalists, It does rub me the wrong way to a higher degree. And again, even if we assume he's not even like a more than like a 2% chance of those four guys, then it's still bad, because I just keep looking and I say, there are so many good options in this offseason. We've talked about many of them. The Pelicans have apparently interviewed many of them, even in the first round. But some of these guys are great options who, you know, could, their careers could benefit from even the publicity of being a one of the finalists, you know? And so to have Jason Kidd and his past and his checkered past, his bad reputation, come in as one of the four finalists, if that's the case, it's just a bad look. I don't like it. And, you know, we'll have to talk another day if he's actually someone who's being seriously considered. But at this point, I'm still holding out hope that that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. I think all those thoughts are valid. My pushback on that is, you know, if you know this whole thing is a one giant favor to the agent that you share with him, David Griffin and Jason Kidd share an agency. If you know this whole thing is a big old sham and you're doing this for relationships, is he even really a finalist? Because you know, you're not picking that guy. You're doing this kind of charade. Where charade, is that even a word?
Charade.
I was sorry, my, roll with that. My ESL slips through every once in a while. But yeah, and if you're doing this whole charade where you're bringing him in and he's a finalist and you're not seriously considering him, then I don't think it necessarily takes away from people that didn't make the cut, because the people that didn't make the cut didn't make the cut, and the real finalists are the other three. And so you could argue, yeah, like, okay, well, they could have done this.
They could have done this. Five interviews instead of four.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, it's completely arbitrary.
Yep.
And I think some of those other candidates probably are more deserving of that. And I agree, the optics of just messing around with the kid aren't great at all. But if Griff feels like there is a tangible benefit that can come from doing this favor, doing a favor to that agency, an agency that also represents Brandon Ingram and some other high profile clients, then I'm not totally against it. You know, it's,
I'm against it regardless, but I hear you. I'm not going to use it to drag down Griff. You know, that's where.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. I mean, I agree that, so I'm 100% on the side of Jason Kidd doesn't need any pity interviews. You don't need to give him a platform. You don't need to do any of this.
Yes.
If I were in charge, I wouldn't do any of this, but I'm not going to hold it against Griff that he's doing it.
And we'll come back to it if he actually gets the job, because that's a whole nother conversation.
Woj bomb 2 weeks from now. The Pelicans have hired Jason Kidd, and it's like, okay, please shoot me.
Oh God. He belongs with the Lakers. He should just be there forever.
Yeah, I hope so. Wasn't he supposed to be like Vogel's replacement? Weren't going to be bad. Well, like so much for that.
Yeah,
so much for that. In any case, I think the Pelicans should be deciding over the next week or so. And it's probably going to hinge on Ty Lue. What'll be interesting, what will tell me a lot is if they lock up someone other than Lue before Lue makes his decision. Because then it tells you that they were, you know, they've known all along Lue doesn't really consider them. And they really, really like the other guy. And they're just getting it done so they can go ahead with their offseason planning and their roster planning.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. What else has happened? Anything else? I'm trying to think if there's anything Pelicans related that's worth talking about.
Well, so Stan Van Gundy had a really good podcast with Zach Lowe before the bubble started, and he previewed the Pelicans, and he was just spot on with all the analysis from, you know, the Pelicans defense. Is it real? Is it not real? To what the hell is Lonzo Ball? And it's funny because people were sending me tweets of Lonzo stans when, after they heard the Stan Van Gundy news, and they were freaking out. They were freaking out. They're like, oh, he's not a half court point guard. He just want to be a spot up shooter and be a point guard in transition only. That's not good. Bring in Atkinson. He's going to give him 30 pick and rolls every game. And, oh my gosh. That was fun to watch.
And oh my God.
I think it's interesting because, you know, Van Gundy's going to come in with no such delusions on Lonzo, and he's going to come in with no such delusions on any of the people on the roster. So I'm excited to see what he does with that crew. I think that structure that he provides is going to do wonders for guys like Nikhil and Jackson Hayes. Now, whether they turn out to be great players for us remains to be seen, but I think having a Van Gundy who does that preparation, who brings in that structure, is so much better for them than Alvin, was completely laissez-faire and hands-off in that approach, and was autonomous and let the player development staff do their thing.
Yeah, so it's a great point in that we have now two recent events coming to a head. One obviously is not by far not confirmed yet, but so let's pretend that Stan Van Gundy is the head coach. We have that on one side. On the other side, we have Lonzo Ball signing with Clutch Sports, who's going to want to do everything they can to maximize Lonzo Ball's value for his next contract. And do those two things conflict? Does the role that Stan Van Gundy sees Lonzo Ball playing conflict with what Clutch Sports wants Lonzo to be to maximize his next contract?
And I think this conflicts to me, it conflicts with what Lonzo views himself as.
Yep, for sure. And I guess the argument is that, you know, if Lonzo can maximize his value in the role that he should be playing, that in theory should overcome any sort of potential to play as a point guard. Because I mean, you've made the point before about the median starting point guard salary in the NBA is high. The question is, does Clutch think that the role that Stan would want him to play can surpass that value?
Yeah, but the funny thing is, a 6'6 point or a 6'6 wing who can defend multiple positions, can rebound the ball really well, can play make, can play point guard in a pinch if he has to, and he can knock down catch and shoot threes. Isn't that the player that every single team wants?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yep.
And those players get paid. Wing players, young wing players get paid. And I just need someone in Lonzo's camp to have that light bulb go off and be like, dude, we're trying to compete in the wrong market here. You're already good at all these things. You're so good at these things, in fact. And so if I were Clutch, that's what I would try to groom him to be. But Lonzo in a contract year, man, I am not looking forward to this.
Yeah. It'll be something. I'm very curious about, it's a good point about Stan. If he's the coach, he kind of knows, he kind of aligns with our views on what Lonzo is and is not. And so what happens is, does, because there's a world in which Lonzo just gets disgruntled and doesn't like the way he's being positioned. I don't think so. I don't see Lonzo as that kind of guy, but it's possible. And so what happens there, if he even, you know, if he's still on the team next year. So a lot of stuff up in the air over the next few months, but definitely very interesting things to discuss as things get solidified.
Yep. Yep. I am excited for Mr. Van Gundy if that happens. I Ty Lue, I think, you know, that's another guy that'd be really good. I don't know if he has a lot of experience as the lead, as a head coach working with young players and developing them, but he does come from a player development background. That's where he got his start when he was in Boston. So it's Boston, not like, right? He doesn't know how to do these things, but also, you know, our friend of the show, McNamara, has been hammering the point that these coaches are going to be a function of their staff and who they bring in. And so Lou's not going to be out there personally working these guys and making sure they run every pick and roll and they do every drill. I mean, he's going to obviously get involved and stuff. Same thing with Stan Van Gundy, you know, there's only one of that person. It involves the whole staff and a complete and total program. And so it'll be exciting to see how they handle the development of young players in that regard.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, I think this was a good recap for what's going on. Hopefully people took away some important pointers and our information doesn't get dated after we release this and Jason Kidd does end up the head coach. That would be quite unfortunate because we'd have to do an emergency pod, but thanks for catching up with us and stay tuned for our free agency breakdowns for all 29 other teams. And it's going to be a good time.